Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Craig Hoffman with you on 106.7 The Fan. Radio.com app as well. You can listen to us anytime, anywhere. Caitlin Sharkey is scheduled to join us in about 12 minutes. She is waiting in line in customs right now, so perhaps we push that to 3:30. We will, but we're going to talk NBA regardless from 3:15 to 3:45. We'll bring the Rooster in here at 3:45 and see what he's got coming up at 4 o'clock. Run this topic we've been doing by him. And I wanted to get to the phone calls as well, 800-636. 1067. I'm trying to text and talk at the same time. As you can hear, it's not going well. But let's go ahead and go to the phones. 800-636-1067. I also definitely want to get back to the trade that we hypothesized earlier with some help from Chase Hughes, because I've gotten a ton of tweets about that. But first, the phones, 800-636-1067. Gabe's in Dumfries. Gabe, thanks for holding. You're on the Fan.
Hey, thanks, Craig, for taking my call. So with the Skins, I think, you know, the Redskins receivers get a bad rap, but I think we have a short-term memory here, and we're forgetting that last year we had a guy by the name of Mark Sanchez throwing the ball. And
I will never forget the Mark Sanchez era.
Exactly. So, I mean, I think the receivers now, we've infused them with young talent. We've got some potential young leaders in McLaurin who can actually maybe get these guys more cohesive. And I think if we have some decent quarterback play from either Case Keenum to start the season or Haskins, if he's looking good, I think we can go in the right direction with that. My bigger concern is the back half of the defense, the safeties and the corners. I think, you know, Josh Norman contract needs to be restructured. We need to try to maybe develop one of these other corners like Adonis Alexander or Fabian Moreau or one of these other guys that we've drafted over a couple of years into maybe a safety. We did it with Quentin Dunbar going from receiver to corner, I believe. Yeah. Why can't we do that again? And if we can't do that, what about a guy like Eric Berry or Trey Boston as a free agent? Someone just to bring in to help out Landon Collins, because I feel like the last couple of years we've really just been shredded over the top.
Thanks, Gabe,
for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for the call. There's a lot there to dive into, and let's work backwards. Safety. Could you convert someone? One, the reason Quentin Dunbar was converted from receiver to corner is because Quentin Dunbar was a terrible receiver. He will tell you he wasn't good, and Jay Gruden will tell you he was terrible. And so, if you haven't heard the story, which I'm sure many of you have, but some of you have not, basically, they had Dunbar in camp as a receiver, and he's on the 90-man roster, and they're doing a special teams drill, and Dunbar's doing a really good job of jamming gunners in punt return, and they have been short on corners, and Gruden goes, hey, you're a corner now. Go try corner. And then he tried corner, and he winds up making the team. So could you convert someone to safety? Dominic Rogers-Cromartie's played some safety in his time. They obviously brought him in. He's not a young player, but he's the type of guy that you could potentially do that with. Adonis Alexander has actually played a little free safety at Virginia Tech. He is a really interesting one, and I'm going to get more into the defense, as I said, tomorrow, but I do think there's a potential to turn one of these guys into safety. Fabian Moreau is honestly really interesting to me. I don't think they have any interest in doing it, but like, he's a pretty physical guy who's really fast. If he could see the field well, he would seem to be the kind of guy who could be a good safety. But ultimately, like, these guys are corners. They're different positions. You can't just turn one to the other. Some of them are good enough athletes and have a good enough understanding of 11-man football to understand what they have to do, but it's not like you can just throw a guy out there. Like, it's always amazed me in baseball. It's like, oh, this left fielder is a first baseman now. It's like, what? Most of those guys weren't good left fielders, but like, they're not like they become great first basemen either. But it's just, I guess, like, it's good enough. Can you catch and throw? Sure. Or in first base case, can you field a grounder and can you catch and can you make a decision twice a game on where to go? So in football, you don't see position changes a ton. I guess in theory, you could take a DB, you know, taking a guy from one DB slot to another is one of the easier transitions, but it's ask D'Angelo Hall. Ask Will Blackman. I think the Redskins ended Will Blackman's career by moving him to safety. Still drives me bananas. They needed a nickel corner, and they took their nickel corner and moved him to safety. I don't get that. But it's possible. As far as the receivers point that Gabe made, I do think it's interesting because if you're forgetting the point or you're just, you tuned in here after Gabe's call, he said, well, you know, the quarterback play was really bad last year, and it wasn't just Mark Sanchez. Alex Smith didn't like throwing to receivers. He didn't until he got Tyreek Hill. He threw it to Tyreek Hill a lot, and he didn't throw it a lot to a bunch of other dudes, but he still threw it way more to Travis Kelce. And frankly, Alex wasn't good at throwing to anyone last year. Like, I feel bad because of what happened, and he's a great dude and all of that, but he would tell you his performance last year wasn't good enough. And he had started to figure some things out. It was getting better. I still think had he had a whole season and going into this year, it would have been better, but Alex has never been great at throwing to receivers. He's much more of a tight ends backs kind of guy. So if you don't have a quarterback who's willing to take the chances and throw to your receivers, and then you replace that guy with other dudes who aren't good at throwing, period, then yeah, your receivers aren't going to be great. But it's not like Josh Doctson was winning every single route and he just wasn't getting the ball. It's like, no, he wasn't open a lot. Paul Richardson was hurt the whole year. Trey Quinn was hurt the whole year. So they don't have anybody who's proven to be good at receiver. So while there is potential, and I don't think it's crazy to have, I mean, I think it's crazy to have really high hopes, but to have hopes for better is not crazy. I mean, Lord, that's, how can it be much worse? I think to blame it on just the quarterback play is a little naive. Because and this is ultimately where the Redskins are at a lot of positions. They need guys to have career years next year all over the place. Otherwise, they're not going to be anywhere close to the playoffs. Greg Hoffman with you here on 106.7 The Fan. Caitlin Sharkey covers the Bucks, who might just be the best team in the NBA. Let's talk to her about them next here on The Fan. Greg Hoffman with you on 106.7 The Fan. All guests appear on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. We now go north of the border to Toronto, where Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Finals will be tomorrow. That series is on TNT on television. And, of course, tonight we got the Western Conference Finals on ESPN, so you can check that out there. Actually, tonight's game might be on ABC because it's a Saturday. Check your local listings, as they say. I want to welcome in, though, on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, Caitlin Sharkey, who works for Fox 6 up in Milwaukee. And not only does she work there, she is of there, from there, grew up in Milwaukee. And Caitlin, first of all, hello, welcome to the show.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And I wanted to start with kind of a zoom out, bigger picture thought. Because this was the best team in the NBA this year. They won 60 games. I think people saw last year, like, hey, this team's pretty good. They might be really good next year. And obviously, they were probably even better than most of the pundits thought. But at what point locally did people feel like they were really onto something with Giannis and feel like not only was he going to be, like, really, really good, but that this team could be really, really good around him?
We all kind of knew it was coming when Giannis joined the organization, right? They kind of built this franchise around him, hoping that it would come to this someday. But I don't think it really set in until after the regular season this year. The whole time we were thinking, please don't be the same old Bucks that go out in the first round of the playoffs now that you have all these pieces put together. But I think this year, after the regular season, after the first round, and how they've just dominated, it's kind of been a wake-up moment for all of us in Milwaukee. Like, this is a real-deal team. Even, you know, sometimes I think we even undersell the Bucks being from there and being covering them, because it's just not something that we're used to. But John Horst, the general manager, made all the appropriate moves. He brought in all these big pieces to go along with Giannis to make this supporting cast, and I think that's credited much of their success this season.
Yeah, so I was watching the game last night, as obviously a lot of people were, and just the confidence that Giannis is playing with is kind of crazy, because he's still so young, and he hasn't really done anything yet. He's obviously had a terrific season and is probably going to win the MVP. So that's not nothing, but it's not like he's had playoff success before. At what point did some kind of switch flip for him that he realized he was better than everyone else?
I think over the last two seasons, I think he's kind of grown his game. He's worked really hard at it, and the sky is the limit for him. It's kind of incredible to watch him at this point and to think that he's still kind of developing a jump shot. He's still kind of developing that three-point shot. He hits them occasionally, but there's so much of his game yet left to develop. But over the last 2 years, just the leadership role that he's taken on, really understanding what he means to the franchise, what it means to be a leader, and what it means to be like in the city of Milwaukee, because right now it's a whole different environment and it's all led by Giannis.
Caitlin Sharkey from Fox 6 in Milwaukee with us here on 106.7 The Fan. I'm Craig Hoffman. How have things changed with Mike Budenholzer? What role has he played in this transformation into a 60-win team?
Well, I felt that it was a toxic environment when Jason Kidd was head coach. So the guys were unhappy. They weren't playing together. They weren't playing for each other. It just wasn't the right fit. Not saying that Jason Kidd's a toxic coach. Just it wasn't the right environment for him. Wasn't the right place. So a year ago, yesterday, actually, Mike Budenholzer was introduced, and it's just been a 180. The system he's put in place, the let-it-fly system, the spacing, the shooting, and the guys really bought into that. And I think they understand he knows how to coach a group like that, and it's just a good fit. And you hear that all the time, and you think it's such a cliche, but I really do believe that Budenholzer was the perfect fit for Milwaukee. The group of guys that he has, they're a very unselfish team. There's not a lot of egos on that team, as good as they are. And I think what he's brought in, the discipline, the offense, and the defense, because that's something they lacked in the last couple seasons, and that kind of hurt them in the end. But their defense, everything's turned around, and it was definitely the perfect fit.
The egoless part is so huge for anybody that's ever been a part of a team at any level. When you got people with their own agendas, it doesn't work. And when you can get people at the highest levels who are high performers to have no agendas, you get the Milwaukee Bucks or the Golden State Warriors and teams like this. What do you think drives that? Because there are guys that could have egos on that team. I mean, Eric Bledsoe is out to prove his thing. It seems like he always has a chip on his shoulder. George Hill is a guy who's been around, has played a lot of basketball, could very easily be like, oh, I've been in a place you guys haven't. So what is the driving factor behind them not operating that way? Is it Giannis? Is it Budenholzer? Is it the front office? Is it some combination of all that?
I think it's a combination of all that. You talk a lot of times about culture, and I think the Bucks culture is an unselfish one. And because you have this superstar, right? You have Giannis, who's changed the franchise. He's changed the team for hopefully, you know, years to come in Milwaukee. But he doesn't look at it that way. He has his big nights, but he also knows he needs his supporting cast, because not every night's going to be a 40-point night for him. But I think it's just the way that they've been coached, the way that maybe it helps that they're in a small market. At the end of the day, they're in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I think they understand they have an opportunity to do something big, and they don't want their egos to take over because they know that doesn't work, that system doesn't work for them as a team.
Who are some of the underrated guys, or maybe not underrated, but not as well-known guys that you think, not only to finish off this series against Toronto, but in a potential matchup with Golden State, could play key roles that people should start paying attention to now as they watch the Eastern Conference Finals?
I think what's unique about the Bucks is we were joking about it yesterday after the game in the locker room, because game one, it was the Brook Lopez game, right? He had 29. Then it was the Ersan Ilyasova game. And with the Bucks, you're kind of wondering who is next. So George Hill has had his big moments. Pat Connaughton has had a quiet start to this series, also provided a major spark in the last series against Boston, a guy you wouldn't think anything of, but Pat Connaughton could be that guy. And as Malcolm Brogdon continues to work back from injury, it's like he never left. So he's continuing on, you know, his tear as well. So I think they just have such a deep bench and a deep overall team that their starters, I feel like Chris Middleton's always been underrated and undersold. He's not having the best series right now against the Raptors, but he was plus 44 against Boston. So he's also a great player for them. So it's any one of those nights. So I'm kind of curious of who will be the shining star in Toronto here in game three.
Yeah, no, that's kind of where my head was at. So I was wondering if you had a better answer than me, but I guess I'm right on that one that it could be anyone. So
yes,
let me ask you this: as someone who has watched certainly more Bucks basketball, but like I feel like I watch a fair amount of NBA games. And by the way, our guest is Caitlin Sharkey, who works for Fox 6 up in Milwaukee here on the Fan. I feel like I've watched the Bucks a fair amount this year. National TV games. I have League Pass. I'm a nerd who watches way too much basketball. And like Chris Middleton's an all-star. He's really good. But I don't remember him being as good defensively as he's shown in this series through two games on Kawhi Leonard. What are they doing to Kawhi?
Yeah.
And did I just miss the Chris Middleton is a great defender thing? And is that on me?
I don't think it's necessarily on you, because I think we were all talking about it after the game, thinking that he's limited the amount of shots Kawhi wants to take. He's forcing the hard shots. And I mean, that's a handful for Chris Middleton to handle. But again, we forget that he is an all-star. Yes, we see him on the scoring end. I don't think we've ever had to pay that close attention to what he's doing defensively. But then you put him in a matchup with the Toronto Raptors, and he's got to defend Kawhi Leonard. He's the eyes are on him. So I think, and the whole defense is just headed overall with the Bucks under Budenholzer. So I think they play a lot of team defense, but Chris has done a tremendous job. And I guess we weren't paying close enough attention. That's how I chalk it up, too.
All right, good. That makes me feel better as well. All right, I got two more questions for you real quick before I let you go. Let's start with the potential matchup with Golden State. Milwaukee has matched up really well in the regular season with Golden State. Why do you think that is, and then what gives you pause about having to match up with them and beat them four times in seven games?
It is. It's definitely – the regular season is one thing, right? I feel like it's just the mindset is different. Certain guys maybe not play. It's a different environment. I think if the Bucks have home court advantage, it certainly helps when they have to match up against Golden State, because they play well at home, but they also play well on the road. It'll be interesting what Kevin Durant's situation kind of shakes out. But once again, I mean, every team knows they got to shut down Giannis. So if Golden State works to shut down Giannis, you have to pick your poison and how you're going to defend him, like teams have struggled all year. So if Golden State can figure out a way to make Giannis uncomfortable, you know, the Bucks, if they miss 33 threes again like they did against the Raptors, it's not going to go so well for them against a team like Golden State. So it'll be interesting to see if their let it fly, do or die by the three works out for them, or if it hurts them against Golden State.
Yeah, just ask the Rockets how do or die shooting from three goes against Golden State. But Daryl Morey is super proud of the fact that they've beaten them more in the playoffs than everyone else who's lost to them over the last 2 years. Good for you, Daryl. All right, you mentioned the small market thing, so I will ask this knowing that I'm asking you, and you know, we'll just hope that no one from Milwaukee is listening, because it would probably make them mad. A lot of the NBA happens through the eyes of what's next. Like, it's almost annoying that we're always looking to the next summer or the next trade deadline instead of the actual games at hand. But because it is perhaps the best player on earth playing in a market like Milwaukee, there's always going to be rumblings about how long Giannis stays there. Is there any thought to that right now, or is he under contract long enough, and is the goodwill enough? And by the way, he's always said that he likes being there. That truly isn't a concern for the franchise and for the fan base.
I mean, I think it's in the back of all the fans' minds. Like, at some point, everyone's waiting, is he going to change on us? So if they win a championship, he wins the MVP, is he going to become one of these superstars that's like, I'm good enough, I'm too good for Milwaukee? I don't think he thinks that right now, and I think the fans are embracing that he has it, because he likes Milwaukee. He likes it. It's low-key. It helps he came from Greece. It helps that he got his start here. So I think Milwaukee is a place that he really, really likes. But you never know, because when you win a championship and all of a sudden you're MVP and you're running the world of the NBA, you know, guys' opinions change. So Bucks fans are trying not to think about it, because it's probably the worst thought in their heads right now. I think they're just embracing every moment. Downtown is packed, and there's such a vibe and a buzz around the city every single game and every single day right now. So I think they're holding on to that for as long as they can.
Makes sense. Bonus question: what's the story behind your Twitter header your Twitter header picture where you are executing and caught mid perfect facepalm?
I was at a Badger game. That game, yeah. I was. They just walked it off, and I couldn't pronounce any words or any players' names, and I just like gave up, and that was the shot that Jagger caught. So, you know, it's just one of those days where words are hard.
Sums
it up.
They try to make me talk into a microphone for 3 hours at a time. I know how you feel.
Yeah. Some days I'm like, how am I speechless right now? But yeah. It happens.
Yeah, they pay me to talk, and I can't do that. Caitlin, this was great. Really appreciate the insight. Safe travels as you explore Toronto and then eventually get back to Milwaukee. And if The Bucks do indeed continue the world they're on. We'll have to have you on again as we move towards the finals.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks for having me again.
You got it. That's Caitlin Sharkey. See, words are hard. Of Fox 6 in Milwaukee. She was great. That's really good insight on a lot of different stuff involving the Bucks. And also, she's my new best friend because all the stuff that I felt dumb about, she was like, no, you didn't miss that. It's just weird stuff happens in sports. Ta-da! See how easy it's become my new best friend? Just tell me I'm right. Let's talk next about this hypothetical trade that Chase Hughes threw out when he joined us earlier between the Wizards and the Knicks. It's the first one that's ever made me consider the possibility of giving up Bradley Beal. We're talking about that next with you at 800-636-1067. I'm Craig Hoffman on The Fan.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Greg Hoffman with you on The Fan, thefandc.com, theradio.com app, radio.com. Can you listen to us any other way? I think that's pretty much got it covered. Watch the Junkies on NBC Sports Washington. You can then get confused when there's a replay on and then call the station trying to talk to the Junkies, but like it's a tape delay replay. That happened to us on Monday. I was in here with Chris Miles during overtime, which is at 6:30 at night, and there's a replay on NBC Sports Washington of the Junkies. People are calling. I know it happens to Chad all the time, and it's like they've been in mourning since 2005. They've been in mornings half my life, and I'm not young anymore. Like, I mean, I'm not old, but and like I'm not like I'm a spring chicken fresh out of school. So I'm a little sparky trying to get a start in radio. Boy's a vet. And people are like, oh, it's the afternoon. Let's call into the Junkies. No, that's not how this works. That was a weird tangent to start this segment off of. Whatever. Thanks for listening, however it is that you are. We certainly appreciate it. The Rooster is coming up at the top of the hour. He will take you into our pregame coverage of the Nats and the Cubs. That starts at 6:45 tonight. And Chris is going to hop in here, whether he wants to or not, in 10 minutes. And maybe we'll give him 15 if he's getting something together. Got to have him preview a show, though. So, is he out there listening? Do we have eyes on the Rooster? And we have no idea where he is? He's over there?
On the computer.
Okay. Hi, Chris! So, earlier on the show, Chase Hughes from NBC Sports Washington joined us. And he proposed something that really made me think. I put that thing on Twitter. And then and the responses have been all over the place. From, yes, absolutely, that should happen, to absolutely no way, like, can't believe you're even considering this. Which means it's probably a good idea. It was a hypothetical trade between the Zardos and the Knicks. And the trade, which was not well constructed by me because I think I put a pick in there that doesn't exist, but it's a second round pick, so we can just shift the year. If your deal breaker is, nope, can't do it because the 2020 hypothetical second rounder that you wanted, Hoffman, and now we have to make it a 2021 or a 2019, then like you didn't like the deal to begin with. And just to me, the second rounder makes it feel right. The Knicks get Bradley Beal, something that I have been very averse to doing. Because Bradley Beal is everything you want in a basketball player. He's good. He's not outrageously priced. He's a great team guy. He tries hard on both ends. The one flaw that he has shown, at least so far in his career, is an inability to hit shots down the stretch, late game execution. But I actually believe as he gets more and more reps doing that, he will get better at it. And then on some levels, it's a law of averages, and that Bradley Beal at some point soon will have an avalanche of like game-winning shots or game-tying shots, close clutch shots, because he's too good of a scorer for his numbers and his production to be this bad in that. And it's not like he's scared. He just, it hasn't worked for him. So, what do the Wizards get? And why do I actually consider this deal? The Wizards get Kevin Knox. Let me pull up Kevin Knox's stats from last year. They get Kevin Knox. They get the number 3 pick in the upcoming draft, which is most likely to be RJ Barrett. And then they get a 2020 second rounder or some other second rounder. Last year in 75 games, 57 of which he started, playing on average 28.8 minutes per game, Kevin Knox had 12 points, 1 assist, 4.5 rebounds, a half a steal, a third of a block. So he's blocking the shot once every 3 games. He's getting a steal once every other games. Turnovers, 1.5. Not great. Certainly, there's some numbers that are exciting and some numbers that are terrifying. He, in his first year as a rookie, shot 34% from 3. That's not good, but it is a number that's good enough to think, okay, if he spends the summer locked in the gym, he can get a lot better. The NBA 3, most people don't realize how far that is and how much different it is from a college 3. So you got a lot of players, and it's not like you can just go to your average court, including most colleges. Now, I wonder if Cal's got it painted down there at Kentucky. But most college practice courts aren't going to have the NBA 3 on it, because why would you? You're a college team. You're trying to win college games. So you go to your local gym. They have the college 3, not the NBA 3. So once you practice, better. But here's the problem. Kevin Knox shot 37% from the field overall. He shot 38% from 2 on an average of 9 attempts per game. That's terrible. Now, shot selection is a function of 2 things. 1, how good are you at shooting? I know, really good analysis there. But 2, how good's your shot selection? Like, Giannis shoots like 60% from 2. But part of that is because he doesn't take mid-range jumpers. He just dunks. You don't take shots, you're going to miss. And so I haven't watched enough Knicks, because I don't hate myself, to know how much of that was Kevin Knox forcing shots and taking bad shots, which is something that on some level can be coached, versus he just doesn't know how to play basketball. He like is going to always take bad shots, and he's just not good at shooting. So when I look at a guy who shot 34% from 3 and 71% from the line, I feel like there's hope there as a shooter to up his numbers, get his effective field goal percentage, which factors in the fact that 3 is more than 2, to get that at a higher number. Last year, it was at a disappearing point on this basketball reference page. Cool. And now it's reloading, and now we're on an ad for Midol. That just happened in front of me. I don't know how that happened. I don't know what Midol is. Okay, now we're back. Where's the affected field goal percentage? Last year, Kevin Knox was at 43%. I feel like you can get that above 50. Maybe even next year. So it becomes how good and what did you feel if you're Tim Connelly, who's likely to be the next Wizards GM, maybe even by the end of the day today. How much did you like him coming out of college? What did you see last year? And then how much do you like RJ Barrett? That's what you're trying to figure out. Are there other pieces the Knicks have that could be interesting? Yeah. Mitchell Robinson's the other name that came up most often in my Twitter responses. Give us Mitchell Robinson. I'm intrigued. That tweet from Jay. I had another. Let's see. You had another one that from Chris. It says, why in God's name would the Knicks make this trade? I had another one, a couple others. Why would you give up Beal? So, ultimately, I think this is something that both sides would have to think about. And you go, okay, why do you think about giving up Beal? You just said he's everything you ever wanted in a player. You have to understand the aspect of timing in the NBA. You have to understand that the point is to win championships and that you can't win a championship right now. You, the Washington Wizards, are not good enough. So having a piece that's helping you win a championship right now is just keeping you afloat in a place, in a neighborhood that's not really worth living in. Cool, you're the 8th seed. You got some fans that care. Oh, wait, no, you don't. Your ratings are not good. Nobody talks about them on stations like ours. Not that anyone listens to any other station, but whatever. And no one shows up to the games. So it's not even like you're doing it for gate purposes. Hey, but fans, they'll be so mad if we trade Bradley Beal. And do what? Not show up to the games they're not already showing up at? You can't get into a Capitals game. You can get a Wizards game for $5. So you trade Beal. You understand that your window is probably going to be either young players plus an older John Wall, or if you're really screwed, it's 4 years from now when John Wall comes off and you have a young core that's come together and maybe you sign a free agent when you suddenly have cap space. But you're not, the neighborhood you're in does you no good. And it sucks because if I was Ted Leonsis, I wouldn't want to trade Bradley Beal because I like Bradley Beal. And it'd be really hard for me to call Bradley Beal and go, we're trading you. Except for the point is to win championships. It's why you play sports. It's why, so I was talking about with Caitlin, like, oh, where's Kevin Durant going to go? I don't know. Maybe he's going to play for the Warriors and help him win another title first, which is why you get good players in the first place. So it's something you have to consider. We'll take a couple calls on this next if you want. 800-636-1067. We'll also bring Rooster in here, see what he's got coming up on his show. I'm Craig Hoffman, happy to be with you on 106.7. Let's talk about this Brad Beal thing. PJ's in Reston. PJ, thanks for calling. You're on the Fan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. So I would lean on the side of not trading Brad, because if you trade back Bradley Beal, I just don't feel like we're going to get back enough for him, and we still have John Wall. I think the only way that works is if you trade both Wall and Beal. I'd rather keep Beal, you know, fingers crossed Wall gets healthy, Portis, you know, Bobby Portis develops, you know, and have some draft picks, get some more athletic bigs around those guys. So it's not that I'm opposed to trading them. It's just you got to trade both. You can't do the halfway thing.
Well, PJ, thanks for calling, but John Wall is the most untradeable player in the NBA and probably in league history. His Supermax kicks in this year. Like, you're paying him an absurd percentage of the cap, and he's a player who relies on athleticism, who is now going to be coming off of two major leg injuries. Like, good luck with that. You can't trade him. That's part of the problem. And unless he comes back and is awesome, like, you're screwed. That's kind of the whole point of needing to reset. Tom's from Woodbridge. Tom, thanks for calling. You're on the Fan.
Yeah, thanks. Look, no one should be untouchable. I think we can all agree with that. This is a reset of some at some level. So if you get enough for them, that's one thing. But the problem I have with the way it sounds like you're looking at it, it sounds like you're looking at it as by the time we're ready to contend, he will be too old or something, but his age doesn't match that. If he was 30, then I'd say, yeah, well, by the time we are ready, he's going to be 33. Might as well unload him now for a good deal. But the guy's young. I mean, he could be still really good by the time we're reset.
Well, see, so here's the thing, Tom. It's that without trading him, what's your path to contention?
Well, I think, you know, you got Mahimi's expiring $16 million. I think you got other guys making a lot of money, too, that came here. I think, you know, you've got time. There's no need to – I don't think you need to act like, well, if you don't get rid of Beal, you can't prep the team for contention. I'm sorry, I can't buy that. I mean, it all depends on what you can get for him.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Tom. Thanks for the call. Like, absolutely, I'm not just hunting Bradley Beal for the first offer. Like, the number three pick in the draft and a top 10 pick from last year and a future pick is, that's the first deal I've ever heard that I'm like, I'd consider that. First one ever. But ultimately, it's about maximizing the asset. And the NBA is a league of asset management. And if you don't maximize the asset, then, you know, you'd hope that the way you can maximize the asset is by playing him. That the asset is like, oh yeah, it's a human being who plays basketball and is good at it. But Bradley Beal going out and even averaging 28-8-8 next year, which is like LeBron numbers, which is not going to happen. Let's say 28-5-5. Like, you're winning 48 games at best, and you're missing the playoffs probably. All right, let's go to Mark in Herndon. Mark, thanks for calling. You're on the Fan.
Thanks, Greg, for taking my call.
My name's Craig. Thanks for calling. Dan is in Fairfax. Dan, thanks for calling. You're on the Fan.
Hello.
Hi, Dan.
How are you?
Good.
Hi. This is the first time I've ever gotten through to the show. I'm a big fan. Or that is 106.7 total. But
thank you. Let's get package, let's boogie here. What you got?
Let's boogie it. Well, you were talking about Bradley Beal and John Wall and so on. And, like, I went to the I attended the University of Tennessee. And
okay, Dan, thanks for calling. I'm sorry you got through, but, like, next time you get through, like, get to the point. We only got, like, 3 minutes left. I don't have time for callers to tell me their life story. That was very Dukes of me, I know, Chris.
I was going to say, I thought I was sitting next to Chad Dukes versus the world right here. Holy cow.
Sometimes the world decides.
Firing squad.
Sometimes the world decides to attack Chad. Sometimes the world decides to attack me. What can I tell you?
Here's the thing. I have never seen you act like that.
Here's the thing. While it's borderline rude to, legitimately rude to the one person on the phone.
Yeah.
I have the rest of the audience that's going, thank God.
That's fair. That's fair.
I have serviced.
It was somewhat painful.
We have broadcasting. That is what we do.
Yes.
We cast as wide of a net as we can. We are not narrow casting. We are not. I'm not having a conversation with the person on the phone.
Nope.
I'm having a conversation with the person on the phone for everyone's enjoyment. So if no one's enjoying it, then we're not going to have the conversation.
I probably need to be ruder and more time efficient.
So it's not personal. I'm sure Dan is a lovely person. I'm sure Mark, who called and didn't have my name right, is a lovely person. We just don't have time for that.
Hi, Greg.
All right, Chris Russell's up next. Thanks for listening. That's my show. What do you have coming up next?
Well, we're going to talk a lot about the Nationals because they suck right now.
you don't say.
So here's the thing, right? I was at the game the last two. I was actually at the last two games. I'm going to go over tonight afterwards. And I don't know why I'm continuing to torture myself, but I care so much about Washington, D.C. and baseball and trying to figure out how to fix this problem, right? And I keep trying to figure out, okay, I know it's not just Davey Martinez. I know it's not just the players, although I definitely skew more towards, hey, players have to play and execute and do their job.
Playing would be a start because they're all hurt.
Right. Well, I understand that.
Playing literally would be a start.
They're starting to get some of their guys back.
Yeah, Turner's back. That's great.
In fairness, I mean, execution and all that just simply has to be better. Craig, the more I think about this, the more I point the finger at Mike Rizzo and the Lerners, and I'm not sure which one is more to blame, but they're at the top of my list because this is a poorly constructed team. This is a team that has no help on the way. This is a team that hasn't developed any relievers that have helped this team on any kind of basis other than a short-term, you're out of here in a trade for a veteran-type basis because the owners refuse to invest in bullpen arms like other quality teams invest in bullpen arms.
Yeah, they've got the worst bullpen in the sport, and they have an unbelievable laundry list of guys who were here that are killing it elsewhere.
Absolutely.
And that's the hard part. That's where you go, all right, maybe it's not Rizzo. Rizzo clearly has identified some talent.
Yes.
The problem is retaining it.
Yes. But part of that is because they don't believe in investing in the bullpen financially in free agency, and then they haven't been able to develop those arms, but choose which arms to keep instead of trading them for veteran relievers that can help. Again, they've developed some guys, Felipe Rivero, now in Pittsburgh, Blake Treinen, now in Oakland, so on and so forth down the line. The problem is at the time, they run out of patience or they flip them for veteran guys because they don't want to spend, again, free agent money for right. those veteran guys to set up the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning. And that's a problem. That's just one thing we're going to get to. Hopefully a couple of guests. I loved your conversation with Chase. I thought that was terrific. I was listening
Chase
to that.
Chase was great today.
That was really...
Chase is always good, but Chase was extra great today.
Really good stuff. Really good stuff. So I meant to tell you that. So I'm certainly going to piggyback off of that, and we'll see what happens with Connolly here. I'll probably do less of the Beal, more of the Connolly stuff, because that guy has got about 10 decisions to make right here before he even really gets his feet wet on the job.
Yeah, no doubt. Beal's the biggest one, but it's certainly not the only one. If you missed the interview with Chase or Caitlin Sharkey or any other part of the show, the whole 2 o'clock hour where I did nothing but Redskins in or out, basically, on the roster.
I heard that too.
I'll do that. The defense tomorrow, do the offense today. If you missed any of that, go to the Overtime podcast feed at thefandc.com or on the radio.com app, Apple Podcasts. It'll all be up there. So with Chris's show after it is done. But first, before it can be over, it must begin.
Yes.
And it does that next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.